Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life, the show where we have on-time solutions to end your financial nightmare and make you financially proactive where money matters.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. This episode is Business in the Making. We are going to be taking steps to startup strategies. This is part two. I would like to welcome you all. This segment is all about entrepreneurship. It is a serious but fun interactive show for those of you all who are in business or looking to start a business. If you want to get ahead in your business endeavors and get your product or service on the top of mind of today's consumers, have fun in the process where you take learning to the next step, then this is definitely the show for you. We want to welcome you on this happy day. I'm going to give us a quick review of what we talked about last week, but before we do that, we're going to play our disclaimer and come right back to you for Business in the Making, brought to you by Secure Your Life.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. It is time for us to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and Paragon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this show is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from qualified, licensed, and certified professionals. The purpose of the show is to provide you an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion in a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
Okay, we are back. If you just joined us, you're listening to Business in the Making, brought to you by Secure Your Life. And today we're talking about startup strategies. This is part two of our series for those of you all who are starting a new business in 2012. I'm going to do a quick review of what we talked about last week, which is defining your business vision. Who are your customers? What business are you in? What do you plan to sell? Is it a product or a service? and how you're going to grow your plan and what primarily is your competitive advantages. We talked about that. It is defining your business venture and your business vision. We also talked about writing down your long-term and short-term goals and what exactly that was. Your short-term goals should be arranged between 6 to 12 months, and your long-term goals are anywhere between 2 to 5 years. And in defining that with your long-term and your short-term goals, you as a business owner need to know what is it that you want to achieve in this amount of time for your short-term as well as your long-term goals. And how large or how small do you want your business to be? Another good question that you need to answer in setting your short and long-term goals is, do you want to include your family in your business? Do you desire to provide employment, or perhaps do you have a strong opinion about whether or not you want to manage people? Is there some kind of cause that your business will address? What are the long-term and short-term goals in regards to that? And describe the qualities, the quantity, and or the service, the customer satisfaction level that you will actually be satisfying. What are your long-term and short-term goals as far as that is concerned? And how would you best describe your primary competitive edge? And then last but not least, as far as your goal setting, how do you see your business making a difference in the lives of your customers? So those were the things that we reviewed and we talked about last week. So those are some of the things that you probably want to go through and answer those questions. If you did not already answer those questions last week, that was a homework I gave you for last week. So if you hadn't had a chance to do that or review that, you want to actually look at your long and your short-term goals for your business. Remember, short-term goals are anywhere between 6 to 12 months. Your long-term goals are from 2 years to 5 years. And understanding your customers is another thing that we talked about last week, because you need to make sure that you are looking at your customer base realistically and seeing how you can best meet their needs. And choosing the market, your target market, carefully will determine whether or not you have great business success. You may have the greatest idea for your business. You may have the best business, but if you're not marketing to the right actual target, then you're missing the mark and you're doing yourself and your business a disjustice. So you want to understand who your customers are, target them, and solve a specific problem with your product and or service. Don't try to be all over the map. Don't try to actually be all to everyone, because then you'll be nothing to no one. So you really want to make sure that you're taking the time out to center focus who your customers are and actually meeting their needs. Number four, we also talked about learning from your competitors. Learning what to do and what not to do based on what's in the market right now will actually catapult your business, especially a startup, will catapult you to the next level, because you can learn from someone else's mistakes. You don't necessarily have to make those yourself. If your competitors are not meeting the demands of what your customers want, you can make sure that that is your central focus. You can make sure that you find out what your competitors' weaknesses and what their strengths are, and make sure that you're fulfilling the goals where they're weak. And if you find that that is a weakness for yourself as well, you need to align yourself and create business alliances with other people who may actually be strong in that particular skill set. So you definitely want to look at that. You want to look at the lifestyle, the demographic, and the psychographic of your ideal customer, because that will determine the bottom line. And the bottom line is making sure that your business is profitable. And last but not least, from last week's show, we talked about the financial matters. How will you make money? What will be your break-even point? And how much profit potential does your business actually have? And take time for what it will actually look like in your financial projections for your business. You're not going to get this overnight. Take time to do this. Be patient with yourself. And you can get all of those things that we talked about in the first part of our series in business startup strategies. Today we're going to be talking about and narrowing our focus on identifying your marketing strategies. But before we do that, we want to actually go to the bare-bone basic of your business. Now, we talked about the startup strategies, but we need to actually talk about choosing a business model and what exactly does that mean. Now, thanks to technology, and I keep trying to explain to you all, the Internet is your best friend. You will be happily surprised to find out all of the things that you can actually do and be on the top of everything, information about the type of business that you want to do. So with that, with your business, are you going to be doing your business part-time? Will you be doing it full-time? Will it be at home? Will it be at online? Will it be brick and mortar or a commercial location? So these are the things that are very important when choosing a business model. And then how best does your business model fit within your lifestyle and your life plan? Because if you don't really understand the dynamics of what your business is actually going to mean to your actual life that you're having now, remember, your baby, this is your business. Your baby is in a startup stage. So it is an incubator, and it really needs your support. It really needs your time. So keeping that in mind, you want to make sure that you're planning wisely and you're not taking any shortcuts and have a realistic point of view when it comes to how your business in the startup stage is going to affect your day-to-day life. How is it going to affect your financial situation? How much time and devotion will you be putting into your business? So initially you need to figure out what business model best fits you. If you're going to be working from home, which is number one, a home-based business, or is it going to be brick and mortar, which means you're going to actually have to find a location in a commercial district in order to run your business. How much is that going to cost you? Is it going to be an e-commerce business, which means it's going to be online? Are you going to do an eBay business? Are you going to be a part of a franchise? Are you going to be licensing your products? So those are some of the things that you might really want to think about. And we're going to go through today on the business model part of our program today. I'm going to give you the upside and the downside of each of the business models that I have discussed with you today. If you just joined us, you're listening to Business in the Making, brought to you by Secure Your Life. This is a show where we give you step-by-step tips on how you can take your business to the next level, whether you be a startup or you've already hit stardom and you want to take your business to the next level. We're going to give you step-by-step instructions on exactly how to do that. We're working on our startup strategy series. This is part two. And we're talking about the business model option. A home-based business drawn upon technology and created an opportunity for those of you all who want to start your business from home. These are some great tips in which you can do your business on a full-time or part-time basis. Home-based businesses have hit a booming run. That's right. This is a booming run now for those of you all who would like to start a home-based business, either full-time or part-time. You may or may not need to use the web to do this, so you need to decide on what's best for you. Here are the upsides of a home-based business. It is less risk and it has low startup. Allow the entrepreneur to test the waters without having to spend money on real estate or staffing. Easily scalable, you can make your home-based business as big or as small as you like, and it will also suit an existing situation such as parenting or if you have a day job. You can also outsource. Outsourcing is a great way, a great strategy to keep things simple at home. You can contract with other companies to do public relations, warehousing, shipping, website management, and even manufacturing. So these are all of the upsides of having a home-based business. On the other hand, the downside of a home-based business is shipping activities and customer traffic at your residential property or restricted by local zoning or ordinance. Check with your local government for details about this. Working at home can be a lot of work, considering that it will actually kind of disrupt your household depending on the type of business that you've chosen. And the next downside is the foot traffic is necessary to run your business. You may be at home, but you can't act like you're at home. You have to act like you're actually in business. So, and also, depending on the type of business that you've chosen to run from your home, what kind of impression are you leaving your customers? Are you actually able to separate your home life from your business? And does your family respect the fact that you are definitely in business from yourself? And although you are working from home, it is still has to function as a business. And keeping that separate can be kind of some of the downsides. Now, I'm going to also talk about today about brick-and-mortar businesses. This is a business with a classical physical location outside of your home. It is involved in dedicating facility, whether you rent, so it's rental property, retail, whether it's wholesale, is it a service or manufacturing. Brick-and-mortar businesses are separate from a home-based business. The upside of having a brick-and-mortar business is it gives you an opportunity to work face-to-face with people and become more involved in your community. So that is one of the upsides. A physical location may attract walk-in traffic to supplement traffic that you gain from marketing efforts depending on the type of business that you have, giving you a dedicated space to work each and every day helps you mentally and physically emerge and run your business like a business. So that's some of the upsides of actually having a brick-and-mortar business. The downside is it has a higher risk factor, meaning that the startup costs will be much, much higher. Build-out costs to set up a location, lease, and purchasing costs is what is about the most important thing that a person needs to look at when thinking about doing a brick-and-mortar business. And that is one of the downsides. The other downside is requiring full-time commitment up front to get the facility ready for business, as well as hiring personnel to staff it. So you have a higher upfront cost, the higher up startup cost. You have to think about hiring employees, the insurance costs with that as well. So it is very costly. That does not mean that you shouldn't do it, but you do need to be aware of it. The last downside of having a brick and mortar is if you're considering a retail-oriented, you must acquire inventory and merchandise for your store, which is another upfront startup cost if you're dealing in the retail business. So keeping that in mind about the brick-and-mortar business, especially if it's retail, that you're going to have to actually purchase merchandise, you're going to have staffing for your facility, you're also going to have the upfront cost for the build-out of your location, so that the location can be to your specifications, the cost of marketing, and PR as well. And because all of this is an upfront, right now kind of cost, you have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with your long-term and your short-term goals for your business. E-commerce business. This is a model that does not have any foot traffic per se, but it does have web traffic. Whether you're selling a product through the website or you're selling a service, which is still considered a product through your website, or whether you're selling to other businesses. The upside to an e-commerce business is, just as well as the home-based business, it has low risk, low-cost business for startups, and not necessarily needs a lot of personnel, inventory, or a facility. You can choose to do an e-commerce business full-time or part-time. It is easily scalable and can make your e-commerce business as big or as small as you like. You can suit it to your own accommodations, and it can work around your day, whether it's parenting or you have another job. The other upside is you can tap into national and even global customer base through the Internet. So as I've always said on this show, the Internet is your best friend, so utilize it to the best, fullest extent. If you just joined us, you're listening to Business in the Making. We're talking about startup strategies. This is part two of our business startup series, and we're talking about the different business models. We've just talked about the e-commerce upside of an e-commerce business, and now I'm going to go into the downside part of this business model. The downside of an e-commerce business is with the brick-and-mortar store. Here's the thing. In some e-commerce businesses, you still have to deal with shipping, inventory management, credit card processing, as well as the headaches that go along with that, particularly if you are a one-person show. The other downside is over 8 million people access the Internet globally, and it is constantly changing. And so in order to get the traffic to come to your site and to convert those customers and those visitors into customers and make them purchase is something that you're going to actually have to really take your time and put in some forethought in doing that. Subcategories of an e-commerce business is one that is not big enough to consider, but you can have your own eBay site that can serve you as a location along with your online store, which allows you to tap into a bigger market. So that is one of the things that you do need to really, really think about. So we're going to talk about the eBay entrepreneurship. That is another business model that a lot of people are actually considering. The upside to that is because you have your own, as they say, eBay store. Your subcategory of the commerce, but not a huge one. So what you are branded by the eBay name. And more people are able to see who you are and tap into that huge market. The upside is it has low cost, low risk than starting an independent e-commerce site on your own. The great part about the eBay entrepreneur is that you're selling your products on the brand of eBay. And you have the opportunity to accept payments through PayPal, a ready-made marketplace, online store template, research marketing tools that are provided to you by eBay. Avoid having to build web traffic yourself from scratch because eBay has everything that you need and is already tapped into the World Wide Web. And because it has a huge customer base, you're able to take advantage of this by becoming a part of the eBay already branded traffic. That is the great part of being an eBay entrepreneur. On the other hand, the downside of that is that, as with the brick-and-mortar store, Shipping inventory management, credit card processing can allow you somewhat of a headache, although a little bit easier because it is handled for you in the sense that it does have its own shopping cart with PayPal, and you're able to take on credit card payments as well as checks, money orders, if you deem so. But if you are a one-person show with this, having to manage all of the shipping and making sure that your payments are on time and making sure that your customers are happy, you do need to definitely keep that in mind when thinking about becoming an eBay entrepreneur. Even though with the guaranteed traffic of eBay offers, you still want to face and make sure that you're facing, you know, you do, the downside is you are facing stiff competition because you're not the only one that is selling, and you may not even be the only one that is selling the type of product or service that is already existing on eBay. So you do want to do some work yourself and make sure that you get feedback and make sure that you are tuning into your customer base. But those are some of the downsides that you have to think about when you want to become a business entrepreneur on eBay. But there's great opportunities in doing so. Next week we're going to be talking about a little bit more about your business model. I'm going to end today's show with the franchising business model. When choosing a franchise business model, you are a part of a bigger business. So you're in business for yourself, but definitely not by yourself, which is a great concept and roadmap to entrepreneurship. Typically, you pay an upfront fee as well as a portion of your revenues over time to be a franchisor. The upside of it is low risk in opening an independent brick-and-mortar business because franchising provides you a streamlined process to starting up your business as well as support in marketing, business plan samples, and estimates, assist with real estate issues, and also with staffing. So with the franchising opportunity, you are well-recognized because you are branded by the part of the franchise. You are also in business for yourself, but definitely not by yourself. Illustrates a low risk inherent with the franchise, and it has a higher success rate than non-franchise businesses. But with anything, there's also a downsize to that. You definitely want to keep that in mind. But we're going to go over some of the downsizes of that next week when we go to part three of our business strategy startup series. I want to wish you all a great day. Thank you for listening to Business in the Making, brought to you by Secure Your Life. And as always, this is springtime, and our phrase for the month will be being financially fit and taking an account of our financial health. So with that, I bid you a great day. And enjoy yourself, enjoy your business, and we want you to be financially fit and business savvy.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Secure Your Life, the show where we give you real life, no holds barred conversations, Monday through Friday on various financial topics with on-time solutions from A to Z, taking financial education to the next level, helping you to become financially proactive where money matters.